The Seguin ISD is working to improve the academic achievement of all students at all of its campuses. The district recently released its plans to improve performance within the state's accountability measures. Superintendent Jack Lee says that the district is taking a strategic approach to improving academic performance across its campuses. Dr. Lee says that there must be a critical focus on leadership at both the campus and district level, along with a clear and sustained commitment to teacher support. He says that those elements are essential to driving meaningful change across the district. He went on to lay out the full strategy during a recent meeting of the Seguin ISD Board of Trustees. As part of the overall strategy, Lee says that the district has created three campus levels to better identify schools based on past academic performance, with level three representing campuses that need the most support. More than 50% of students currently enrolled in the Seguin ISD attend one of the four schools identified as level three.
Level three is our campuses that need the most support, and the way that they become a level three campus is they either have a D or a F rating in the current year, or they had an F at one point in the two prior years. So it's not just about where we're at this moment, but also where are we coming for so that we can make sure that we have support. We have four campuses that fall in that window as being a level three: Jefferson Elementary, Barnes Middle School, Rodriguez Elementary, and Seguin High School. Those are the ones that I feel like need the most support to be able to see the improvement that we need to happen.
Level two schools represent the next tier. These campuses have not earned failing grades, but still require clearly defined support.
A level two campus is based off of any campus that currently has a C rating or had a D rating at some point in the prior 2 years. Again, we're not looking at just where we're at, but also where did we come from. Those six campuses are Ball. Keep in mind that Ball does not get accountability ratings by itself. They are a paired campus with Kennecke. So whatever Kennecke's rating is, Ball carries that, even though Ball has nothing to do with third, fourth, and fifth grade on Kennecke Elementary. Ball Early Childhood is on that list because of Kennecke. They had a D in 2024. AJB also had a D in 2024, and so they're a level two. Potlon is listed on here as a level two campus because they had a D in 2023. Potline's one of our interesting campuses that went from a D to an A to a B. That doesn't mean that we're all out of the woods. We want to keep moving forward. We want to get them to be a level one campus. Vogel had a D in 2024 last year, and Weiner had a D in 2024 last year also.
Two campuses, McQueenie Elementary and Mercer Bloomberg Learning Center, are classified as level one under the district leveling. These schools have maintained a higher level of academic performance over the past three school years. The campus leveling system establishes a clear response from the district as it works to improve academic performance at each school. Level three campuses, which required the most academic and classroom support, will see some of the most significant changes. This includes increased classroom support and more frequent classroom visits. Lee says that the district leadership will spend additional time on these campuses to ensure quality instruction is taking place.
We'll do instructional rounds in January where we walk campuses across the district, classrooms across the district as leadership teams to look at what's happening in there. Those instructional rounds are not about teachers. I want to be very clear. The instructional rounds are not about teachers. We're going in and we're looking at what's happening, but it is about us and making sure we are calibrated on what we are seeing. If we see good instruction, do we agree that it's good instruction? What makes it good instruction? We don't even document which teachers' rooms we go into. We don't write that stuff down because it's not about teachers. It's about just how we are seeing things.
While instructional rounds are not evaluative, there will be additional T-tests or Texas Teacher Evaluation and Support System observations at level three campuses and level two campuses. Teachers at level three campuses will receive three observations annually, while level two campuses will receive two. Dr. Lee says this approach is designed to provide better feedback and ensure quality instruction is occurring in schools that need the most support.
They will have three T-test observations throughout the school year. Not just one, but three times between now and the beginning of the year and the end of the year. If they've already had one, great. The only way we can know what's happening in classrooms is if we are in the classrooms. That's nothing against the teacher. It's about making the teacher better. I think we have quality teachers on all of these campuses. Our goal is to make them better. And then monthly curriculum calibration walks where we are walking campuses and we are seeing what is being taught and is it aligned with the scope and sequence of what is supposed to be taught in classrooms.
The additional observations are just a small part of the overall plan. Lee says additional teacher support will also be provided throughout the year.
For teacher development for a level three campus, That also includes bi-weekly training every 2 weeks on instructional strategies that will be led by the Curriculum and Instruction Department. We're not talking about what you're teaching, but how you're teaching. High-impact, research-based, high-leverage instructional strategies in the classroom, and so we start rolling those out to staff. And then all core teachers in tested subjects especially have to have monthly instructional coaching and monthly administrative feedback cycles where we're talking about what we're seeing and what's happening in those classrooms.
Lee says that they also want people at every level to have their performance reviews directly tied to the academic outcomes of local campuses.
One of the kickers with what we need to do is our evaluations need to be aligned with campus performance. If our leadership is responsible for the way that campuses perform, then our evaluations should be based on that also. As your superintendent, my evaluation is based off of how campuses perform and the district performs. That is the same thing for leadership across the district, and so we're going to start seeing some shifts in the way that we do those.
Regardless of a campus's assigned level, much of the support structure will apply to schools district-wide. Dr. Lee says that there is significant overlap among turnaround plans and targeted improvement plans across the district. Dr. Lee went on to explain the why for each of these changes. Some teachers may initially view the changes as intrusive, but Lee says that the plan is designed to take a holistic approach. The focus is on systemic improvements rather than individual classrooms. Lee says that the district must ensure that every student receives a consistently high level of instruction regardless of the campus or classroom.
We have to expect that on these campuses especially that we are implementing our HQIM and the high quality instructional materials and the district's instructional materials. They have to be implemented with fidelity. We don't steer away from it. This is what has to be implemented so that we can make sure that it's happening the way it's supposed to. And then they would have twice weekly PLCs, one PLC that is focused on instruction, one that's focused on data. The other thing is that for those campuses that are level 3 campuses, we have to see that they are using lesson plans, which if they're using HQIM with fidelity, the lesson plan is done for them. They don't have to, but if there are specific lesson changes that needs to happen, that needs to be initiated by curriculum and instruction, they have to use those, not self-created things.
The plan also includes a review of leadership practices to ensure that support systems are being used effectively at each campus.
Our instructional coaches have to be trained on instructional coaching, and they have to actually provide instructional coaching to teachers and not substituting for classrooms when there's vacancies. That's not the support that we need to be able to see the improvement that we need to.
Dr. Lee fully acknowledges that some of the changes may be unpopular, but he says the district is committed to doing what is necessary to improve the outcome of its students.
We will get complaints about the work that is happening. I own it. Like, I own it right now. We're going to tell people that they have to do something different than they have done before, and they will not like that. And you as a board will hear complaints about some of those things. Either we're in it for the right reasons or we're not. I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't think it's what's best for the district and what's best for kids. And so even if we have things that people that start complaining, by all means, like, send them my way. I will be happy to have conversations with anyone. I will always visit with someone. I will not budge on what's best for kids, though. Period. Like, that's my line in the sand. We're going to do what's best for kids.
Lee says some teachers may express concern about a perceived loss of autonomy when it comes to their classroom. He says that the goal is not to take autonomy away, but to ensure that instructional alignment and consistency exists across each campus.
If you want to have full instructional autonomy of what happens across the district or in your classroom, you have to earn that ability to do it by being an outstanding instruction-based individual. So it's not a matter of us telling teachers they can't do something or they shouldn't do something. It's about show us what you can do, and once you've earned that ability, by all means, go for it. If you're a phenomenal teacher, I want you to have the instructional autonomy that you need to do, but we've got to get everybody on the same page of where we're at and what needs to happen.
Dr. Lee says following the available curricula doesn't mean that teachers can't bring their own creative ideas to the table. He says it just needs to be done within that instructional framework.
So I think you also have to remember that HQIM, that high quality instructional material, does not take creativity away. It does specify what has to be taught and when it has to be taught and the level of rigor that it has to be taught. You can still be creative and teach it and teach what's supposed to be taught when it's supposed to be taught at the level of rigor that's supposed to be there. So it's not necessarily about taking away autonomy. You can still adjust lessons to reflect what's being taught. But if I walk into a fourth grade classroom at Potlon or Jefferson or Weinert or Kennecke, in one day, I should see similar things happening in all four of those classrooms, in all four of those campuses, because every child deserves the same level of education across this district. And that's where we have to make sure that we're not budging on. This is what's supposed to be taught, this is when it's supposed to be taught, and this is the level of rigor that it's supposed to be taught.
Creating a culture of strong instruction in every classroom is at the heart of the district's academic improvement plan. The strategy emphasizes leadership at every level and establishes consistent expectations district-wide.
The goal is to get our campuses to an accountability rating that is appropriate. So in those targeted improvement plans, you will see that each campus has different goals that are set as part of that targeted improvement plan. Those are the goals that are necessary to get them out of the improvement cycle that TEA currently has us in because we have not performed where we are. So those goals are what we need to hit to move to that next level. Now, you will see a lot of the same thing in those targeted improvement plans from campus to campus. That is intentional. It's intentional because we have to establish good instructional expectations across the district, good professional learning community protocols across the district. We have to, good instruction, whether it's in a kindergarten classroom or whether it's in a high school English 2 classroom, is still good instruction. Good practices are good practices.
Dr. Lee says that the district's current accountability challenges developed over time, and he says it's going to require sustained efforts to turn things around.
It's not like something magical happened and all of a sudden we have low accountability. It was an overtime thing that got us into the situation that we're in. And I don't know, I don't care what the excuses are. All I care about is where we're at and what we do next. I don't care what happened. I don't care what causes it. None of that matters to me. What matters to me now is what are we doing for kids moving forward. But it did not happen overnight. I need the board to also understand the improvement will not happen overnight. Like, we are not going to see magical improvement from tonight until tomorrow morning because I stood here and said this is what we're going to do. It takes time to move the needle in a meaningful way that creates systemic change.
The need to turn around the academic performance of local schools isn't just about it being important to students, because of course it is, but the state can also take over any district that has schools with five consecutive years of low performance. If that happened, it would mean a total loss of local control of Seguin schools. Darren Dunn, KWED News.